Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to The Show For You, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. It's episode 191, and it is our yearly mock draft episode. It is draft week. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the Arizona Cardinals site from USA Today's NFL Wire. My co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and we're finally here. I think we might be upon the last couple of mock drafts. It might be ours, and isn't it ours, and then basically Mike Mayock's? That's about it, isn't it, Seth, at this point?
It is. We're at the finale. It's finally over. We can move on to the actual draft and complaining about our draft picks. So we're almost done.
And we'll get to grade them immediately because we will know the grade that they get.
Exactly.
Kind of pick. It's perfect. So now, for the record, here on CardsWire, here on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Our mock drafts have been good the last couple of years. We've hit the last 2 years of Cardinals picks. I don't know what the stats are for other ones. The Cardinals senior, their Cardinals VP of media relations, Mark Dalton, likes to troll media members from time to time and points out that the average mock draft hits about 4 out of 32 picks. Now, a lot of us, Seth and I, play out mock drafts a lot. In fact, especially I, when I run the simulations that I do for my site, it's more about playing out certain situations. It's not necessarily all the time a prediction. This is where we try to predict. But last year and the year before, we hit both the picks for the Cardinals and did it with basically no fanfare, of course, because we're not big media. We are little guys on the internet doing great things, apparently. But this is our draft show, episode 191. This is the year. This is the episode we go through our mock draft. But before we do that, we want to go over kind of the latest in draft rumors around the Arizona Cardinals because it's that time. And this is perhaps, I'll have to say, dating back to the years of all the years I've been covering the Cardinals as a writer, except for maybe 2011, which was really the first year that I was covering the Cardinals and writing when it was during the draft. Except for 2011, this is the most exciting, most intriguing draft that the Cardinals have had. Now, aside from this, of all the last several years, it's this draft that I am the least sure about what the Cardinals are doing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think this is one of those things because we don't know much about the coaching staff. We don't know much about what players they're looking for. Scheme fits at this time. We're rebuilding it. I mean, even in 2013, we had an idea that Jonathan Cooper was coming on board. I tweeted out on draft day that they were going to take Tyrann Mathieu in the third round. We were able to get information on in 2013. This is completely new. There's not an LSU feeder coming in, you know, with Kevin Minter and Patrick Peterson already on the roster. There's not all of these other clues. So we're kind of just piecing it together as we go, right? And it makes it more enjoyable. It makes it a situation where nobody really knows anything. And when nobody knows anything, it makes it, well, one, it makes it more enjoyable, but two, then it makes everybody a little more on edge. Everybody is a little feisty, if you will, about the potential that is coming up. And that makes things fun and that makes things different.
And so regarding the rumors around the Cardinals right now, Peter King put out his one mock draft earlier this week and said that the Cardinals trading up big from number 15 to number 5 with the Denver Broncos. And with it, they get Baker Mayfield. And with the tidbit that not only do the Cardinals like Baker Mayfield, they love Baker Mayfield. Now, an interesting tidbit about that is the fact that trading with the Broncos, who you probably could say are almost in the same quarterback situation as the Cardinals, maybe even a little more secure. So they're a little bit more secure, but they have Case Keenum. You don't think that they didn't sign him to a contract that was locking him up long term. They definitely got him. They paid him. They're paying him handsomely, but they're still in the same situation where they might want to have a guy behind him. So, and reportedly, according to King, that the Denver Broncos also like Mayfield. So that was kind of an interesting thing, an interesting guess that he said. There's also the rumor that we got from Ian Rappaport on Tuesday, saying that the Cardinals are making a bunch of noise right now, are making the most noise in terms of making calls, inquiring about trading up, whatever that means. What is there to take away from these things? Because we've been saying all along, I mean, we've said, if there's a quarterback that you are absolutely in love with, that you believe will be a star, then you have to go get it. You can't say, oh, the cost is, because you know, we know how much a quarterback is worth. But at the same time, the cost to go up to number five or number four, it's going to cost him pretty much this entire day one and day two of this year and day one and day two of next year.
I don't know how many of our listeners, you know, saw what Kyle Odegaard tweeted, and I tried to respond, but my Twitter wasn't working, so it is what it is. But he had a tweet, and he goes, these are the costs, I think, of what it would take.
That's using the trade value chart, which is, right. It's a thing, but the last couple of years, that just hasn't followed it at all.
It hasn't, and you look at it, and he said it would take a first, a second, and the compensatory third. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably accurate if you add on next year's first. I mean, that's the cost right now. I mean, the way the Jets set the market is that it's about double what the actual cost is. And so you're giving up a first, a second, a third this year, and probably a first and a third next year. Because like I said, the Jets set the market. Now, here's what I've said. I was talking to somebody earlier today. One spot that is, you know, kind of a hotbed is Indianapolis, right? So the big thing is they have 8 elite players graded, not counting the quarterbacks. So in theory, they have 12 players. So again, in theory, where could they go down to? 12.
And that's the sweet spot there, because Buffalo is a team that everyone thinks that they're going to try and make a move up because of what they've got, because they've got number 12 and they've got number 22 that they can deal.
Right. And so, you know, Indy, the guy from Indy said, you know, what are we getting if we move down? And it's like, well, I think the difference is this: you move down now. So, you know, Wednesday when this is playing, you move down Wednesday before the draft. You're probably getting that big haul. The problem is on draft day, everything changes because it has to be a decision that's made within the split second. And so usually what happens on draft day is it goes back to more traditional cost factor. So you do it on draft day, you're probably looking at, you know, like I said last year, I was told that the Cardinals made a call and they heard it was next year's first. So they were giving up 13 last year, and then this year, which would have been pick 15. That was it. There was no two, there was no three, there was nothing else involved. It was one and one. And you look at the deals that were made, they weren't really great deals for that draft. You look at the
one exception, and that's the one exception is the Bill is Chicago trading up from 3 to 2. But we have some information that tells us there was competition for that pick.
Right. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you said, all right, so you gave up a 3 and a 1 or a 1 and a 2. And then, but the big prize, and the Browns were the one that cashed in on that lottery ticket, was that extra first rounder. And so that's what everybody wants. You know, now the Bills, it didn't work out quite as well because the Chiefs were a good team. And so that's the thing. I don't know if you saw Evan Silva's tweet today, but you know, the consensus right now is that the Arizona Cardinals of the 2018 version may not be a very good team. And that consensus isn't just or I, that consensus is, you know, national media perception. And when you look at it from that perspective, Evan Silva put out a tweet that I thought was very poignant. If you're a team like the Colts, if you're a team like the Broncos, this year doesn't matter. Like, go get, you know, if you want to trade with the Cardinals, get one and maybe a three, but you got to get next year's one because you're talking about a team that could have a top five pick. And so that's the thought process with this move is that you're probably not going to give up as much in the day two round if you do it on draft day, but you sure as heck are going to be giving up that 2019 first rounder, whether you're going up to 10 or whether you're going up to 4, you're going to be giving up that 2019 first rounder because that whoever's trading back with you, they want what they're perceiving the Cardinals will have next year. And that is a likely top 10 pick in their eyes.
In terms of, scenarios. I do see a couple of scenarios, and one is based on kind of what you said. It's highly unlikely, but what we think we know is that the Cardinals are a team that really likes Josh Allen. And with that they kind of have targeted, there's this pick range where if he's still available, they'd be willing to move up. And is that, what is that, after about pick 5, is that, was it between 6 and 10, is that they'd be willing to jump up and get him?
The belief is this, that if they're going to make a move for Josh Allen, it's not going to be in the top 5, but it will be in the top 10, and it'll have to be somewhere between 6 and 10. Like I said, I don't know if the Colts are willing to move down to where the Cardinals are. That might be the one where you do have to pony up more than you'd expect. But the Bucs, the Bears, the 49ers, and the Raiders are all teams that are chomping at the bit to get a first-round pick next year, to get an extra first-round pick.
Because they don't need a quarterback. They have their quarterbacks. I mean, they got Andrew Luck, you got Jameis Winston, you got Mitch Trubisky, you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, and you've got Derek Carr. So you're kind of set. So that's going to be the sweet spot for a lot of teams to move up. That's where you're going to want to watch teams like Buffalo. Kind of the chatter around is some people are kind of expecting the New England Patriots to be a surprise this year. Usually they're trading back, but what do they have? 2 picks in the first, 2 in the second, and 2 in the third. They look armed and ready to target specific players.
So here are some rumors that I've heard is that the Patriots are one of the teams that have started to explore the idea of getting ahead of the Arizona Cardinals and Baltimore Ravens, who could possibly take Lamar Jackson. And so the Patriots are poking their head around in that 13-14 range and going, all right, we'll give you 23 and 31 this year and you know, throw in whatever the sweetener may need to be to come get the guy we want. And so, I mean, wouldn't that be astonishing again to see a playoff team? I mean, obviously the Patriots are more than just a playoff team. But, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, wouldn't it have a kick in the you know what again to be sniped by a playoff team, by a team that is in a position of power, and they go and get the quarterback, and then you're sitting here thinking, huh, wonder why my team doesn't like quarterbacks, but all these really good teams do.
And then the other scenario has been talked about here locally is the possibility of the chatter of how UCLA's Josh Rosen could be the guy to slip a little bit. I don't believe that necessarily will be the case, but they could be. If he gets to around, if he falls to that 9, 10, 11, right in there, that'd be a sweet spot as well to target him as well if they like him, especially if you want to get ahead of, say, Buffalo or Miami, because both of them could be in the market for a quarterback at that point. So if Josh Rosen falls a little bit, the thing here locally is that maybe they could jump up that way. And so it makes sense that what Ian Rappaport is saying, what Rapsheet is saying, is the fact that they're making calls. That makes sense because they're kind of playing out. They want to be prepared, whether it's serious or whether it's just placing some feelers out there if certain things play out.
Right. And that's the thing, is the Cardinals are preparing for all scenarios because they have to know. They have to be ready, because like it or not, and fair or not, there's a 100% reality that they were not prepared last year. They were unprepared for what was going to happen. And when you look at it from that, are brutally honest with everything, it comes back to the fact that they weren't ready to make the move they needed to make. They didn't understand what the cost of making a deal and moving up to get the player that they wanted was going to be. And more to the point, they assumed that one of those guys was going to fall. It was pick 10, and Watson and Mahomes were on the board, and teams that didn't need quarterbacks were sitting in front of them. And all of a sudden, you know, it goes real quick. And that's what people have to understand, is that you make all these calls now so you're prepared when draft day happens, and that way you're not caught, you know, kind of you're not caught in an awkward position for the second time.
All right. Any other draft rumors out there that you're willing to share, that you've heard? Otherwise we can move on to the next part of our show. What'd you think?
Yeah, we can move on, because I'll share the draft rumors I'm hearing with some of the picks I make. So,
all right. So coming up next on Rise Up C-Red, we will start our mock draft. So that's coming up next on Rise Up C-Red. Who gets the number one pick? Who is the number one pick? Where do the quarterbacks fall, and where do the Cardinals end up, and who do they get? That's coming up next on Rise Up C-Red. A reminder to all of our listeners is to, of course, we are still friends with Harry's.com, the shaving company that I made the switch to, and 3 million other men across the country have switched to, where you get a high-quality shave, you get high-quality razors at a fraction of the price of the expensive ones, the big names. I'm still using it. I'm still getting a great shave, great close feeling. The skin feels great. I love the foaming shave gel. And we still have this deal going on for you. Harry stands behind this quality of their blades. And most people know, once you kind of picked a blade, it's hard to switch. So there's a trial. You can try it out. There's a trial offer and claim yours by going to harrys.com/cred. So here's what you can do. You go to harrys.com/cred. And you're gonna get your trial set for free. You get the ergonomic handle, you get the 5-blade razor, you get the foaming shave gel, and if you love it, guess what? You can replace those blades at just $2 a blade, which is at least, it's like half the price at least of other guys. So redeem that trial set at harrys.com/cred. Redeem the offer. Let them know that I sent you to help support the show. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, and let's get started. We got this mock draft, our yearly mock draft. And so Seth and I both have made up. We've seen our mock drafts, and but at the beginning, at the top, they go a little bit differently. There is the Cleveland Browns picking at number one. We know they're going to take a quarterback. The talk has been for a long time. Is it Josh Allen? Is it Sam Darnold? It felt inevitable one way or the other. And then just the last couple of days, Baker Mayfield's name is back in there. Now, whether that's actually true or they're just trying to make the teams behind them sweat a little bit, that's a different thing. So let's go ahead and get started, and let's see who is the pick at number one for the Browns. Seth, who's the guy that you have them taking?
I think they go with what's been kind of the consensus since the beginning in Sam Darnold. I think they have waited for, you know, a guy like this to come out and be the guy, and I think they're going to go out and make that the pick and move forward with him as their franchise.
And I have them going with the higher ceiling. After seeing the success of Carson Wentz and being enamored with the arm strength and seeing the just the growth that he's made in different parts. So from his second to last his senior year, from the senior year to the bowl game, from the bowl game to the draft process, and then leading up to the draft, he not only does he have the physical tools, just the as Mel Kiper calls it, a historical arm and a historical arm talent, but you also see his ability to learn. And I think that upside will be appealing, especially since the Browns already have a quarterback in place that they feel that they can accomplish some things with. You've actually got with Tyrod Taylor and Drew Stanton in the quarterback room, there's no pressure for Allen right away, which lends him to be able to grow and learn and build into that. And so I see them going that, which leads me to the second pick overall, to the New York Giants, which I've contended all along when the Jets traded up to number three, it's not because they didn't place a call to number two. That they did place that call to number two, and the Giants just weren't trading, because when you have the number two pick in a quarterback draft, you have your eye on the quarterback. Now, we've talked about how potentially they have their eye on one quarterback, and then they might trade down, and they probably won't trade down, but they'll take someone like a Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley. But with my second pick, they do get the quarterback that they're targeting, and that is Sam Darnold, who, as the second pick, will get to do what Carson Palmer did so many years ago. Darnold has been compared in many ways to Carson Palmer, not only in the school at USC, but sort of the appearance as well, his demeanor, the way he's gone about things, his competitiveness. And now he will get to learn behind Eli Manning how to be a pro. And Manning can be Darnold's John Kitna.
And for me, the Giants are sitting there and going, please, Browns, screw this up and take anybody but Sam Darnold. Because I think Jess is right. I think they were waiting to see what happens before they traded away. They wanted a chance, if Sam Darnold was there, to draft him. And unfortunately, he's not for me. And I think they take Bradley Chubb. I was really torn on who to go here, because I don't know how Chubb fits in James Betcher's defense, but it's really hard for me to take a running back there. So I went with Chubb, because I'm not going to believe that until I see it happen, and then when it does, and it likely will, then I'll believe it. So, and that brings us to the Jets, and you and I are in lockstep in unison. I think this has been basically the talk of Twitter for the last 3 weeks. That they've locked in on this one individual.
Yeah, and it would be Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner, is actually, for me, for a long time, I tend to waver back and forth as I learn more about players, but Baker Mayfield really intrigues me. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. As long, you know, people talk about his approach, like I see Philip Rivers in him. I see a little bit of Cam Newton in terms of demeanor, and those guys have been super successful. He's been a leader. He's led a locker room. His teammates believe in him. I think that's a great pick for the Jets.
Yeah, and I think it fits with he's going to be a star in New York. I think it's where he needs to be, and I think it fits everything really well.
Now, number four, the guy that I have the Browns taking is already off the board for you, and after they get their quarterback with the super high-end, high upside, they go at number four with the best defensive player in the draft, the guy who many say is even better than Myles Garrett was last year. They're pretty much everyone's consensus number one pick, Brown's number one pick, and they are going to pair Myles Garrett with Bradley Chubb, creating, oh my goodness, a pass rush to terrorize the AFC North.
Correct, and that's I think, honestly, I think my pick and My pick for 2 and 4 will be flipped. I have them taking Saquon Barkley just because Chubb's not there. But I think you are probably at, and I think this is what plays out. But I just can't bring myself to move Saquon Barkley to the second pick in the draft. Barkley is a phenomenal talent. He is a game changer out of the backfield, but in similar ways to David Johnson, he's not, you know, the purest of running back. They're best offensive weapons or guys that are great when the football is in their hands more than they are just a, you know, straightforward Leonard Fournette, you know, Ezekiel Elliott type running back where we're going to run them ragged 350 times a season. And so that's not to say they can't get 350 touches. It's just that their touches are going to come in the form of, you know, 250 carries and 75 catches and 25 kickoff and punt returns. So, you know, that's my one kind of beef with Saquon, but I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. And I think everybody's going to be excited about this.
And it's, and I, whoever gets him, whether it, and pairing him in Cleveland with, well, Tyrod Taylor to start with makes for a dynamic running game, because one, Tyrod Taylor can move and is definitely a threat in the running game himself, and add Barkley to that. And then a guy who he can dump the ball off and make plays in the field, that would be a great pairing too. So either way the Browns go, they, with having number one and number four, basically the only way they can probably screw this up is one, if their quarterback doesn't pan out, or two, as some have suggested might happen, they pick two quarterbacks with each of those picks, which would be absolutely asinine. But beyond that, they're going to be in good shape, whether they get Barkley in the backfield or they have Chubb on the defensive side of the ball. And with, between he and Garrett, they can both just terrorize tackles and make things difficult in a division where they've just been a doormat forever.
Exactly, and it creates a sensational offense with the idea of Darnold and Barkley, and it creates an excitement for the Browns that, you know, they haven't had since Brandon Weed and Trent Richardson.
Too bad that never panned out. Pick number 5. Here for me, this is where the Denver Broncos is. Now, this is a spot where some people see them trading out of, perhaps. I don't see it that way, because with the number 5 pick in the draft and locking up Case Keenum, what is it? It's not like they locked him up for a long time. Was it a 2-year deal? A 2-year deal for Keenum? So they're not exactly sold on him. So you've got to get another quarterback in play. So either they still love Paxton Lynch, and you have to think, if they really loved Paxton Lynch, would they have gone out and signed Case Keenum? I think not. And so I still think that's a sweet spot for the quarterback position, and 4 quarterbacks are off the board in the first 5 picks for me as the Broncos take Josh Rosen, who honestly probably is going to be the steadiest, as long as he stays healthy, will be the most productive quarterback in – will have the probably the most productive career of the 4.
And for me, and Rosen makes 100%, you know, it makes sense. It's a great pick. I think that they're in on 2 guys, Darnold and Mayfield, and those guys are gone. And so I have them going with a guy that I don't know if I've seen a mock top 5 too much. And so this is a little bit out there, but Denzel Ward, they sit with a bevy of defensive talent on the board, and they go with Denzel Ward. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out. But Ward is a sticky cover corner. He's the best cornerback in this draft, in my opinion, by a wide margin, but he's a guy that can play inside or outside, and he's just a great cornerback, and as Arizona Cardinals fans can attest, you can never have too many corners, and so the Broncos continue to build a phenomenal defense with you know, what looks like a pedestrian offense.
And it's a good pick as well, because they will need to replace Aqib Talib. And so you get a guy who could be, well, honestly, Ohio State cornerbacks, you pretty much should just draft because they're good. As we saw with Marshon Lattimore a year ago, a guy that the Cardinals really, really liked, but ultimately had just behind Hassan Reddick. We'll see how that turns out. But Lattimore turned out to be a sensational pick for the Saints, a team whose defense was just awful, awful, and he made it better. So that's a great pick. It's a good pick. It's a good fit. And with that, we move on to the Colts, where we diverge a little bit. In my pick for the Colts, we've got Saquon Barkley still on the board, and that's where the Colts are thrilled, because while they could definitely use some offensive line talent, wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic to bring Andrew Luck back, but to have a dynamic playmaker at running back? Saquon Barkley, they will run to the podium with Barkley on the board and take him at number 6. Obviously, he can't be the pick for you, since he already came off the board at 4.
And for me, it's, you know, just it's the same thought. It's just a different approach, and that is, hey, let's protect Andrew Luck. So I take the – who some people, including myself, because I'm a glutton for punishment, call the best player in the draft, and that's Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. I think the Colts have a list, like I said, of 8 players that they deem as elite outside of the 12, and they're going to – from people I've spoken with, their list – is simply Chubb, Barkley, Nelson, and then 5 other guys. And so, you know, if Chubb, Barkley, or Nelson are there, that's allegedly who they're going to take. Now, there's been an intriguing kind of development lately, and something to just watch, and neither of us took him. But there is a possibility that even if one of those 3 guys are on the board, they could take Roquan Smith. If all 3 of those guys are off the board, Roquan Smith's the name I've heard the most mentioned there. So just keep that in mind. If for some reason the Broncos instead take Quentin Nelson or you know, some variation of Chubb, Barkley, and Nelson are off the board, Roquan Smith at 6, so the Colts is in play.
And who's your pick for the Bucs at number 7?
I have them sticking with the homegrown kid, Derwin James, super talented athletic freak. And I think this is similar to the Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker thing last year. Malik Hooker is – Minkah Fitzpatrick is a better football player, but Derwin James – does more. And so in that case, you know, it's similar to Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker. I think that James, the guy that can line up in multiple positions, play multiple positions, and do multiple things on the field, is the guy that will go higher because of NFL standards. We're talking now a guy that can play linebacker, slot corner, or deep safety and do it all well. You know, he is probably the closest thing that we have seen to Cam Chancellor, that, you know, and of course Chancellor was a much later draft pick, but you know, he's a very talented player
and a game changer on the defense because of the presence he has there. Derwin James is reportedly one of the 5 guys that one of our local reporter says that the Cardinals have. He's one of the 5 guys that the Cardinals will draft as it. Now, I've never thought that Derwin James would have it. There'd be any chance that he's available at number 15, but we can, based on their interest, because they love Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams never had a chance of making it to 15 or 13 last year, but they loved him and what he can do to that defense. I have the Bucs going a little slightly different direction. In fact, I almost had the Colts. I had these 2 picks flip-flop for a second. I had the Colts going with Roquan Smith, which is who I have the Bucs taking, and then the Bucs taking Saquon Barkley, which would have been fantastic, I think, for Tampa. But you get Roquan Smith in that Tampa defense and pairing him up with Lavonte David, and then you can you're strengthening a defensive unit that needs a lot of work and making things easier for Jameis Winston, who on the offensive side of the ball, we know he is a risk taker, which is why he's prone to turn the ball over more. And if you can mitigate some of that risk by keeping the games more in their favor, you can mitigate some of the issues that Jameis has.
And I like that pick, and it makes a ton of sense to me. It's one of those situations where, again, I just think it depends on how the board falls. And so, if James goes a little earlier, Smith is definitely a guy that makes sense there.
For the Bears, since they've gotten Mitchell Trubisky, I see them, okay, they want to protect him. They want to protect Trubisky. They've gone after some receivers. They've got some running game. Now they need to put some people up front. Your guy, number one, the top pick in the draft, top player in the draft, and Quentin Nelson, the Fighting Irish, the Golden Domer, he lands at the Bears at number 8. I don't think anyone's going to complain for Chicago to get a guy in the interior to be able to protect their investment.
No, I think that's a great pick, but I'm going to go back to the monsters of the Midway on defense and give them Tremaine Edmonds, who, when we did our preview for defense, I talked about it. He has a chance to be in that Brian Urlacher, that Luke Kuechly class of linebacker. And doesn't that just, isn't a guy like that just supposed to play for the Chicago Bears? I mean, that's just the lineage. It's, they need another Hall of Fame linebacker. It's been 5 years, Brian Urlacher's going into the Hall of Fame. It's time.
And he's so young. I mean, he is an athletic freak. He's super productive, can do everything on the football field, and he's so young, so he can play for a long, long time. Edmonds, for me, the board just falls differently. I actually have him falling, having him fall much further than probably anyone might expect, and I almost have him in play with the Cardinals as we kind of give a preview as to what was coming. I almost took him for the Cardinals. Who do you take as you go to number 9 and we go to the 49ers, a very sexy pick for the NFC West these days? People think that they're going to be good suddenly. And maybe they've got something to say about that because they finished the year really strong. They've got Jimmy Garoppolo. They've got the quarterback in place. You give them a dynamic defensive player.
Yeah, I give them Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think Minkah is a guy that is a slightly bigger Tyrann Mathieu. He's a game changer on defense. He's a versatile player. He's not the physical alpha presence that Derwin James is, and that's really what it comes down to defensively. But he's going to be a guy that you can line up all over the field. He makes plays and he's able to change the complexion of games. He even might be able to play a little boundary cornerback, which is going to be, again, the slight difference from a guy like Tyrann, who was a slot corner and then, strong safety, free safety type of player. That's who Minkah could be. He could probably play outside corner, slot, and then both safety positions.
And me, my pick for the 49ers is also for the secondary. And Denzel Ward comes off the board at number 9. And the truth is, for a Cardinals fan, I don't want the 49ers getting either one of these players. Because this will significantly help their defense either way. You either get the best corner, the best cover guy in the draft on the boundary, or perhaps the second best cover guy in terms of versatility in Fitzpatrick. So neither one of those players is one that I want to see the 49ers get.
Yep, it's definitely one of those situations where you're sitting there going, oh, man, come on, like, screw this up. Go take Mike McGlinchey. not that McGlinchey's a bad player by any means, but, like.
But we got Chandler Jones, so it's fine.
Right, exactly. Like, you don't want them to improve on a weakness like that by getting, two guys that look like game-changing type players.
And to round out our top 10, this is where the Raiders get their enforcer in Derwin James. I like where this matches up. The Raiders need help on defense. And And Denzel Ward can do that. I'm sorry, Denzel. Derwin James can be the guy to do that, who can be that enforcer, who can change the presence of that defense immediately. And you have the same type of thing, just at a different position.
Yeah, and I will say this. Somebody, so I saw something on Derwin James to the Raiders, and I thought it was really funny. And Cardinals fans may not know these names, but somebody said, you know, why would you take Derwin James for the Raiders when you have Carl Joseph and Obi Melifowana? And they said, where will they play for Derwin? And the guy said, well, they can play by bringing him his water when he needs a break. So, I mean, that's the mentality of what people think of Derwin. I mean, he's a dog. I mean, in the best way possible, like the people love this kid. And I have him going Roquan Smith for many of the same reasons you had him going to the Bucks. They need something of stability and playmaking on that side of the ball. Smith is a fantastic athlete. He's a guy that is a run and chase outside linebacker, you know, or off ball linebacker, and he's a guy that's going to make their defense immediately better. And the Raiders need as much help there as they can get.
That rounds out the top 10 of our Rise Up Sea Red mock draft. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, we will get into the next 10, 11 through 20, where the part that matters, who the Arizona Cardinals pick. So that's coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Number 11. So we've gone through, let's kind of run through 1 through 10. My mock draft so far has gone number 1 to the Browns, Josh Allen, followed by the Giants, Sam Darnold, Jets, Baker Mayfield, Browns, Bradley Chubb, Broncos, Josh Rosen, Colts, Saquon Barkley, running back. The Bucks get linebacker Roquan Smith. The Bears get guard Quentin Nelson. At 49ers get Denzel Ward at cornerback. And number 10, the Raiders get Derwin James at safety. While Seth's draft thus far has gone Sam Darnold, number 1, to the Browns. Bradley Chubb, number 2, to the Giants. Baker Mayfield to the Jets, number 3. Saquon Barkley, number 4, to the Browns. Then Denzel Ward to the Broncos. Quentin Nelson to the Colts. Derwin James to the Bucks. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker, to the Bears. Minka Fitzpatrick, safety corner defensive back extraordinaire, to the 49ers, followed by Roquan Smith at number 10 to the Raiders. You'll notice something so far that we haven't seen from Seth, and that in my mock, 4 quarterbacks came off the board in 5 selections. So far, only 2 have come off the board for Seth. So what happens at number 11? How far are these quarterbacks going to drop? Rosen and Allen, the two Joshes, where do they finally land?
So, you know, we're not doing trades in this because it's just, I mean, doing a dueling mock and keeping track of trades is going to be difficult. So we just mocked through 6 through 10, like you said, and that's prime real estate for three of the next 5 teams to jump up, including our Arizona Cardinals, where they could go get a Josh Allen or a Josh Rosen in that 6 to 10 range. Now, again, not doing trades. This is something that could happen, though, that a guy like Rosen, who has some detractors in the NFL because the NFL is an old school thinking league that likes guys that just go out and play and that don't ask a lot of questions. And Rosen is not that type of guy. So the Miami Dolphins snap up Josh Rosen at 11, and, you know, they have now a young Ryan Tannehill coming off an ACL tear, and then they have young Josh Rosen that has said, if I have to be a water boy, I'm going to be the best water boy in the league and for a year. And you know, he's a guy that he's going to push Tannehill and maybe even to the brink. And, you know, that's not always a bad thing. And so we'll see what happens there.
And for me at number 11, no quarterback is really on the board for the Dolphins. However, since they got rid of Ndamukong Suh, they now have a void in the middle of their defensive interior, which means I see them taking the biggest guy in the defensive interior who could be a wrecking ball at the next level, and that's Vita Vea out of Washington. Seth and I talked about him in our last show. But you're going to have to project him a little bit. Is he going to be Aaron Donald, or is he going to be Danny Shelton? That's the part that gets to remain. Miami perhaps sees him as the wrecking ball that is Ndamukong Suh, not only being able to to disrupt the run, but also eat quarterbacks for lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But it fits Miami in that sense.
Yeah, and I like that, and I think that makes a lot of sense, and it's definitely a way that they could go if that's how it plays out. Now, you and I differ on the players, but we both have quarterback going to Buffalo.
Yes, at number 12, the Buffalo Bills, who I think are very much in play for quarterback. I see them taking the quarterback that a lot of Cardinals fans, and will make Seth sad as well. They take Lamar Jackson, even though it seems to be that Jackson has done his best to try and avoid being selected by Buffalo. They take him at number 12. It might seem, look at the quarterbacks that they got. They got A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman. You can't be happy with that. So you think that they have to get a quarterback in this draft. And while they did get rid of Tyrod Taylor, don't think for a moment that Lamar Jackson and Tyrod Taylor are in the same conversation in terms of ability. Lamar has the chance to be at the best. He's more dynamic than Michael Vick was in many ways. And if you look at the 2010 season that Mike Vick had, that's the type of thing that we could see, like Randall Cunningham at his prime. Mike Vick, as especially in 2010, you could see that from Lamar Jackson on the regular, I think.
Yeah, and I like that pick, and I have them going with the other quarterback that I think that they'll trade up for, and this would be probably right around 5 or 6, and that's Josh Allen. And so Allen to the Bills, I feel like is going to happen on Thursday. So listen to this early, and then tell me I'm right if I'm right, and if I'm wrong. Don't at me. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things. I think it's going to come to fruition on draft day, and Josh Allen's going to be the guy.
At 13, we both go with the same area position wise, but we've got different players. Who do you have for Washington?
I have, this is where Vita Vey goes. And I think, you're going to see a lot of guys that like, this pick, and it's one that's been mocked quite a bit, that Vea is going to go in that 10 to 13 range.
And I have them going the same position, only I have them taking Alabama's Daron Payne, a guy who will do a lot of some of the same things. But with Vita Vea off the board, they want to beef up the middle of that defense, and they really need to do that because they have the edge players. They just need to beef up the inside.
They do, and so when you look at what they have, we're going with, you know, kind of two sides of the same coin here, and doing interior guys. I like Payne better than Vea. I just think the NFL is going to like Vea better than Payne.
At number 14.
And you agreed with that, by the way, because you took him two spots earlier.
Yes, that's certainly right. So number 14 for the Packers. So you've got the Green Bay Packers. You've got your quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. You want to keep him happy. A lot of people think receiver could be here. So Calvin Ridley's a possibility. DJ Moore, give him some weapons, especially since they got rid of Jordy Nelson. But he keeps getting hurt. So I've got them getting the first tackle off the board. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing, because that tells you that the tackle class isn't surefire. But they take Notre Dame's Mike McGlinchey. So the top two offensive linemen off the board happen to be both Notre Dame guys. Mike McGlinchey goes to the Packers to protect Aaron Rodgers.
And I really like that pick. I think it's a potential fit there, but I have them taking Harold Landry, the pass rushing phenom out of Boston College. It's one of the things that the Packers need the most is an edge rusher, somebody that can help out on the edge. And I see that being the fit there.
And at number 15, so we're now at the Cardinals pick. We both go defensive backfield. My pick for them, if we kind of go with how, with the comparison of Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams went high, Malik Hooker fell a little bit. This is perfectly fortunate for the Cardinals, because I have Minkah Fitzpatrick falling all the way to number 15, and they swoop him up, and he becomes their Tyrann Mathieu replacement. So it's not Buda Baker. Buda Baker isn't the Tyrann Mathieu replacement. Buda Baker now becomes Buda Baker. And now they have someone who can legitimately, you know, can play that that slot corner spot, and he's got some size, speed. So he's bigger and he's more athletic than Tyrann Mathieu. So that should be a very nice pick. And just like Malik Hooker went, what was it, 15 or 16 last year? I can't remember which number he went, but he went kind of right in the same slot.
I think he went 15.
And so it kind of falls into place. The Cardinals land a defensive back. They might be able to slide him over to outside corner, but this is definitely a surprise. He was named as one of our local reporters, local radio hosts. He was one of the five that they said the Cardinals would draft. At first, everything I've seen, there's no way that Fitzpatrick falls to number 15. But as I'm going through my board, as I'm drafting players in this mock, I said, it could happen. And I think if that plays out, I think he'd be a fantastic match for the Cardinals.
And I agree. If he's there, it's one of those kind of no-brainer type things. The problem is I don't think he's going to be there. And I've still got Lamar on the board, but I don't think the Cardinals are going to draft him, and here's why. And so to talk about rumors that we've heard about, I mentioned earlier the Patriots. So I've heard that three teams outside of Arizona really like Lamar Jackson. So that's the New England Patriots at 23, the New Orleans Saints at 26, and the Jacksonville Jaguars at 29. So the other thing I've been told is that Jackson won't make it to 16, where the Baltimore Ravens allegedly like him as well. So we're talking about maybe the Cardinals can trade out here. I think that teams are going to, again, assume that they have to get in front of Arizona to get Lamar Jackson. So for the sake of accuracy more than anything, I left Lamar as not the pick. And I went with the other Jackson, Josh Jackson, out of Iowa. And so Sporting News, Eric Galco kind of looked or said something today in his article of what he's hearing, that I've been talking to Jess and Blake Murphy and a couple other guys about for probably, 2 weeks now? And that is the Cardinals, if they don't move up for one of the Joshes, that the guys that they like are Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander. And so in this case, I went with the guy that in my eyes best fits the Steve Wilks mold of player and what he likes in a cornerback. And Jackson is long. He is a good athlete, and he is a sound tackler and physical player. So that's what I have them doing here. I'm 100% with Jess. If Minka Fitzpatrick is on the board and you're looking at Minka and Josh Jackson, you take Minka 10 times out of 10. I just don't think Minka Fitzpatrick is going to be on the board.
Now, and what's interesting is among the reports recently in Phoenix radio here is among those five players that our local radio host said the Cardinals will draft if they're there. One is Mike Hughes out of Central Florida, and perhaps is I've never been one to question where this reporter gets his information, but that just doesn't seem like a fit at all. We've covered the Cardinals for a long time now. Granted, this is a new regime, and so how much was Bruce Arians and how much was Steve Keim? But there's one thing we kind of known when it comes to cornerback: they like extreme athleticism, they want playmaking skills, and they also want high character. Mike Hughes, he's not the athlete. He's not as fast. Now, he's a dynamic returner, but I don't think the Cardinals would spend a mid-first-round pick on someone just because he's a dynamic returner. They got TJ Logan last year in the fifth round. And he comes with some off-the-field issues. He was kicked out of North Carolina. Yes, they've taken chances on guys before, but they've never taken. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu was beloved in the locker room. Robert Kendiche has had issues, but it never was about football. I don't like the match of Mike Hughes at all. So Josh Jackson, I think he matches great. I think I like the size, speed, athleticism, the playmaking skills, and plus with the fact that Mike Hughes is very inexperienced, really only started 1 year, and they've already got an inexperienced guy at cornerback in Brandon Williams, and he's an elite athlete. So I don't like that pick at all. Now, in terms of what I think, so I think of anything, if the Cardinals stay at 15, I think the sweet spot there is kind of defensive back, I think. I still tend to believe that they're probably going to trade back. I see the scenario where they trade back, and then they're going to use part of their haul for the trade back to ideally trade back into the first round and target one of the quarterbacks that are left. Now, I don't have any more quarterbacks coming off the board in this round, but I could definitely see where it's a Mason Rudolph or Kyle Auletta where they sneak it back into the first round to get that extra year. Twitter will tell you that the Cardinals do not have Mason Rudolph on their radar. I don't have sources to say otherwise, but I think the fact that there hasn't been much surrounding Mason Rudolph tells me there might be a little something there, because I think he does fit a lot. He does check off a lot of boxes for the Cardinals and probably for Mike McCoy as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in this instance, and we had a poll on our site, Revenge of the Birds, today of, you know, what would you do, you know, what are the five scenarios that the Cardinals could have, you know, trade into the top five, trade in that 7 to 10 range, obviously stay put at 15, and then it was trade back for somebody trying to come up to get Lamar, or then trade back into round one at, you know, 32. Cause the Eagles have made no bones about it. They want out. They want out of the first round.
They do. Cause they don't have anything else until the end of the fourth.
Right. So give us a 2 and a 3 and come get a 1. And, you know, in that instance, it makes sense for the Cardinals, right? Like if you like Mason Rudolph or Kyle Auletta, and you're saying, you know what, we're going to take those guys at 47. Well, you know what, give up 47 and 97 or 47 and even 79 and go get them and guarantee you get them, and also guarantee that you have them on that fifth year option, which is a huge deal.
And at number 16, this is where my first receiver comes off the board, the Baltimore Ravens, who Joe Flacco, without any real offensive weapons, and their penchant for getting old over-the-hill receivers, finally turn that around and take Calvin Ridley. He's probably the best overall skill player in terms of receiver. However, he does not have the versatility. But he will probably be their number one receiver off the bat.
And I have them doing the opposite and protecting Joe Flacco and grabbing Mike McGlinchey. I think either way is a solid fit, honestly. And I'm with you on everything you just said. This is probably a spot that if Lamar Jackson was on the board, this is where he could probably go. But again, for the sake of accuracy, in my mock draft on teams, I'm going to keep him falling down a little bit.
At number 17, the San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers. Whoops. Seth has a little bit of information that will give us some insight as to what Los Angeles is looking for, because they seem to be the team that surprises us every single year.
So what I've heard on the Chargers is that they've got five names that they like. It almost sounds like what we heard about the Cardinals. You got three names that are likely to go in the top 15. They like Derwin James. They like Vita Vey. Two names that are likely to go in the top 15. But then they have three guys at 17 that they like. Now, one of them went in your top 15, Daron Payne. So Daron Payne's a guy that could be in play here. Another one that they really like, and they really need an inside linebacker. And so this is one that makes a ton of sense, is Rashawn Evans, the inside linebacker out of Alabama. I have him going with Taven Bryan, though. So Bryan is the kind of Robert Kendiche type player of this draft. Just an astounding athlete who three or four times a game you go, this is literally the best player on the field, no matter who is playing. And he played at Florida in the SEC, and there was literally three or four times a game where you said, there is not a single player that can stop this guy if he figures out how to do this every down. And so, you know, if my information's accurate, they could have, you know, their choice of three, and I'm throwing Bryan at the wall to see if it sticks.
And I hit with my pick for the Chargers is the position. The other position, you said Rashawn Evans is a guy they like. Tremaine Edmonds still is on the board for me, the athletic freak, the young athletic freak. So I think given that scenario, Edmonds would be a superb fit, and the fall finally ends there. And number 18, where we go to the Seattle Seahawks, now we both agree. We know the Seahawks need help on their offensive line.
And they get maybe the most versatile and talented offensive lineman in the draft in Isaiah Wynn, a guy that I think should be in play for 15 with the Cardinals, because he can literally play center, guard, or tackle, and the Cardinals may need any of those positions coming into this year. So not only is he a high-end player, but he's a guy that can do a number of things.
At number 19, we diverge a little bit as I take – for the Dallas Cowboys, Harold Landry, the top pass rusher, top edge guy in the class. It seems that they tend to have issues. The Cowboys draft an edge rusher who then has some issues with substance abuse and things like that. So I add to that Harold Landry. They get help off the edge that way. And you know, he's already off your board. He goes to Green Bay in your mock draft. And so I think that Dallas, who, of course, always could use some more defensive help, getting back Ezekiel Elliott for an entire season, ideally a healthier offensive line this year. The offense shouldn't be an issue. They need to stack that defense a little more.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but they just released Des Bryant, and they're going to take you know, who many are calling now the top wide receiver in the draft, and that's DJ Moore, the wide receiver out of Maryland. You know, kind of in that Anquan Boldin mold, right? Like a guy that can line up outside, inside. He's a rack guy, you know, run after catch star, and he's a guy that can win in a lot of different ways.
But he's much faster than Anquan Boldin was. So yes. There's that. The one little bit of concern could be perhaps that foot injury he dealt. It wasn't a foot injury he dealt with at the end of the year at getting into the combine. I see, or I'm misremembering.
I can't remember either. But okay. He's just a guy that he's also younger. So
there's a plus there. At number 20, wrapping up the next 10, the Detroit Lions. You have them going with an edge guy. Who's your guy?
I have them taking Marcus Davenport. So they need help on the edge. And Davenport is kind of like a guy that they hit on earlier, and that's who? Zeke Ansah, athletic freak, 6'5", 270, but has never really put it together.
And my guy for the Lions is cornerback Jair Alexander. You don't come across very good cornerback prospects and pass over them if you can't. Alexander has the mindset of a number one corner. He doesn't have the big time length, but he plays bigger than he is. So I have him wrapping up the top 20, a cornerback that has been linked with the Cardinals many times.
And like I said, I think if the way my board fell, Jackson and Alexander is a coin flip, and Jackson is a guy that, honestly, the reason I picked him is I just like him more as a prospect.
Coming up on the next segment of Rise Up, see where we're going to wrap things up. We're going to wrap up with the last 12 picks. What surprises could be in store? That's coming up next on Rise Up, See Red. We're back on Rise Up, See Red, number 21 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Seth's got a surprise. I'll give you mine. I've Marcus Davenport. So he went number 20 for Seth's. He goes number 21 for me. So they give Cincinnati some punch off the edge. The AFC North is increasing in pass rushing skills. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco are going to have to worry a little bit. Maybe Tyrod Taylor a little bit, adding Marcus Davenport to the mix.
Yep, and I have them taking Frank Ragnow, the center guard out of Arkansas, who is going to be an All-Pro.
And what's shocking about this is most mock drafts have him going in round three. But yep. If he's going to be an All-Pro, he probably should be a first-rounder.
This is the Travis Frederick pick from 20, whatever that was, 11 or 12, when the Cowboys traded back and then shocked everybody by taking Frederick in the first round. Comes from the same cut, from the same cloth. Ragnow is a Brett Bielema guy. He's going to be a star. He's a guy that, honestly, if the Cardinals took him at 15, I wouldn't even bat an eye. Like, most Cardinals fans would be like, huh? And I'd be like, they just got a guy that is going, I mean, I would go buy his jersey. That's how much I like Frank Ragnow.
Number 22, the Bills, with their second pick. This is where I have them going. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where they have them going at number 12, a guy like Tremaine Edmonds. I see them going with that position at number 22, taking Alabama's Rashawn Evans. So they kind of feel the same need, but they've already addressed the quarterback position up at the first pick, so they can go defense with their second pick.
And I almost had Evans there too, but for the sake of diversity, I went with Jair Alexander there. And I think that makes the Bills secondary really, really talented.
At number 23, this New England Patriots. This is where you finally see Lamar Jackson fall.
Yeah, and I think this is in a trade up, but I think the Patriots take Lamar Jackson and kind of laugh all the way to the bank and a continued bout of excellence. I'm not going to say that he's going to continue to lead them to what Tom Brady has done, but I still think that they're going to be a continued relevant playoff team now post Tom Brady. And here, think about this just real quick. Think about this. How many Patriots draft picks are starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now? And the answer is three. So you have obviously Brady, but then you have Jacoby Brissett and you have Jimmy Garoppolo. So,
and to be honest, Matt Castle, as much as he gets mocked, he wasn't a bad starting quarterback for a couple of years.
Yep. So it's one of those things. And I think now, you know, they've taken third round, they've taken second round. And now they're just going to be bored and take a first round quarterback because they got another pick coming.
And they do. For me, the pick for the Patriots is LSU's Darius Geis. Running back will add to the offensive weapons that Tom Brady has. He's not going to be better than Saquon Barkley, but perhaps a little bit better value. I don't know. But he offers a lot of the thing about Darius Geis. Is he going to be LeGarrette Blount? Is he going to be Marshawn Lynch? Or is he going to turn to Marion Barber? They had a lot of success in New England with LeGarrette Blount, with the type of runner he was. And so Geis will fit right in.
Yeah, and Geis is a star. He's going to be so good. I think Saquon Barkley is going to be phenomenal. That's why I can't get on board with taking Saquon Barkley at pick 2, 3, 4, whatever, wherever he goes.
Number 24 is where you see another receiver coming off the board for now for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I think they want DJ Moore, and I think they'll settle on Calvin Ridley. Ridley's a very talented player. He's a high-end two receiver in this league, for his 1 5-year contract before he turns 30.
And then I have them going Josh Jackson. Oddly enough, he would have been a perfect fit for the Panthers with Steve Wilks back there as defensive coordinator. Instead, he lands in Carolina post-Wilks. And at number 25, I have the Tennessee Titans bolstering that offensive line to giving them Ohio State's Billy Price, a guy I really like. He is He is an old school offensive lineman, edgy. He wants to knock people down and grind guys into the dirt. He's versatile. He's a leader. And with the tackle, they already have the tackle position set there. So you give him a center guard who can play any of those three interior positions, and you're really setting things up for Marcus Mariota nicely.
And I think that they're going to take Sam Hubbard and continue to build along the defense and try to improve that defense. Hubbard is going to be the kind of what's their coach's name now? I can't even remember. I know who it is. He played for the Patriots and was the defensive coordinator.
Vrabel.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel. He'll be the Mike Vrabel of that defense. And so I think that's where they go.
Number 26, New Orleans Saints. I have them. They wanted to get Jimmy Graham back. They wanted a tight end. They're going to get their tight end in the draft in Dallas Goedert. He's got some good potential there. I mean, throwing him out there you've got their running back. You got Alvin Kamara. You've got Michael Thomas. Add Dallas Goedert to that, and Drew Brees is going to keep throwing touchdown passes without any problems.
And I have them taking Rashawn Evans and continuing to improve what was a phenomenal defense. I struggled with this pick a lot because I like the Goedert selection, and I like the idea of even Mike Gesicki there, but I went with Rashawn Evans.
27, you and I go the same position, different player. You've got Daron Payne, who's already off my board, and I've got Taven Bryant, who's already off your board for the Atlanta Falcons, adding some bulk to that inside added to that defensive interior.
Yeah, and I think that everybody's kind of picking this, right? So it's absolutely 100% and not going to happen. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Think about it. Every mock draft you see, they're either taking Maurice Hurst or they're taking, Taven Bryant or Daron Payne. And there's just no way, right? There's no way that's what happens. So, and then, we go to the Steelers, and I think you and I agree on this pick. I think we're going to see, I think they're going to find an inside linebacker and the top one left on the board. Although I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but it was Mike Mayock said the other day that some teams are moving him off their board. Leighton Vander Esch of Boise State. I said the other day, he reminds me of a young Carlos Dansby. Man, this kid can play. He's long, he's lean, and he's athletic. We'll see how far he falls with the apparent shoulder injury.
And you look at the line of inside linebackers that the Steelers have had to perform well. He'll fit right in. Ryan Shazier hopefully gets back to form. You had Larry Foote. You had Lawrence Timmons. I mean, just the number of linebackers that thrive in that Pittsburgh defense. It's almost unfair. It's kind of like the Bears. If only the Cardinals could do something like that.
Exactly.
Number 29, the Jacksonville Jaguars receiver. I have them going with Christian Kirk, a guy that a lot of fans would love to see the Cardinals get. I've seen him go as high as 15 to the Cardinals, and I've seen him go as low as the second round pick for the Cardinals in the middle of the second round.
Yeah, and I like that pick, but I have them continuing to build what is inevitably going to be the greatest offensive line ever constructed, and drafting Will Hernandez to pair with the newly signed Andrew Norwell.
Oof. So, I mean, Blake Bortles won't have to take any risks, it sounds like. They just keep handing the ball to Leonard Fournette and just have him dink and dunk. And Blake Bortles, who's been the joke of the NFL in terms of quarterback picks the last little while, he's going to make the AFC Championship again, probably.
Yep, and the other scary thing to think is, what if they go grab like a Nick Chubb in round two or three, now all of a sudden they've got two battering rams and a talented, low maintenance quarterback. It would be a phenomenal way to build a team.
The Minnesota Vikings. This is where Mike Hughes comes off the board for me. I don't like him for the Cardinals, but he definitely has some upside, and that Vikings defense is set up where he can make plays. When Trey Waynes looked like a bust of a cornerback a couple of years ago, he's turned things around. So I like that they're continuing to add to that defense to kind of keep things set there, especially now they've got Kirk Cousins, and just keep that defense even stronger.
And I've got them continuing to build that offensive line with James Daniels, another phenomenal interior offensive lineman in this class. The interior offensive line play in this class is just going to be out of this world. I think we're going to see probably five go off in the first, 40 picks or so. And it's going to be five guys that are going to battle for Pro Bowls and all pros.
And then at number 31, we cross paths again with the Patriots picking the same guy. You've got them taking their quarterback. So they've got the future past after Tom Brady set with Lamar Jackson. And now we both have them taking Colton Miller, not necessarily a great offensive line prospect, but he's athletic and he's versatile. He can play both sides of the offensive line. He won't be much of an adjustment because he started at both positions, left and right tackle.
And he reminds a lot of people of Nate Solder. So I think that's why you're getting this fit. And their offensive line coach, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, is literally one of the greatest offensive line coaches in NFL history. And he gets the most out of these guys. And if Miller doesn't go at 31, he definitely would be a fit at 32. But I like your pick at 32. And he's a guy I had fallen out of the first round unexpectedly.
And I have the Eagles taking Connor Williams, being the type of tackle draft that it is. So it's not you don't have sure things at the top of the draft. But with Philadelphia and an aging Jason Peters, this is a really good spot to, especially since you get that fifth year, to land Connor Williams. Pretty solid, like a solid prospect out of Texas. He's even gone as we've seen mock drafts have him go as high as hitting with the Cardinals at 15.
Yeah, and I like Connor Williams. He's a nice ball player. He's a guy that, he has some upside. The injury cost him probably 20 to 25 spots in this draft. He probably would have been OT1 if he was able to stay healthy all year. And then I have the Eagles taking Darius Geis because why not? The rich get richer, right?
They're just going to keep giving out more running backs. That would be – well, and it served them well last year. I mean, they've got two starting quarterbacks. They might as well have – three running backs, right?
Right.
And all the receivers and everything. So yeah. And that wraps up the mock draft. We'll see. So this show will be posted Wednesday afternoon. So you'll probably have about 24 hours to see, okay, you can say that we're crazy or whatever. And then after Thursday rolls around and Friday, then you can compare and really tell us, oh, you guys were really idiots. You had no idea what you were talking about. Or maybe for the third year in the row, one of us will hit on that Cardinals pick at 15. I'd love to see the Cardinals move back into the first round. I don't care if it's for the Mason Rudolph or Kyle Laletta. But I want them, I've said it several times, if they don't get one of those top seven quarterback prospects in this draft, I think they really messed up this draft. Even if they add talent, great players, all pros, if they don't land one of those seven quarterbacks, I think they failed this year's draft, because this is the year to do it with as much talent as there seems to be and with the quarterback situation that you have, being that you've got Sam Bradford basically on a one-year deal with an option. And even if Sam Bradford makes it through a full year healthy, you know it's coming. He's going to get hurt.
Yep, and so, I would love for myself to be wrong and that the Cardinals do have the gumption to take Lamar Jackson if he's on the board. I just don't think that he's on the board at 15. I think he goes in that 13-14 range and they get sniped again. Minkah Fitzpatrick would be a phenomenal compensatory prize in that sense, but man, it would be nice to walk out of this draft feeling like they have their quarterback of the future.
All right. Anything else that we want to add to this before we wrap up this edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast?
Nope. Just remember that Jess and I will have you covered cardswire.com, Revenge of the Birds. Twitter.com, Twitter at Senior Orge, gonna have he'll have a lot more information, especially if it breaks earlier, the Cardinals make a trade up, because I'll be coaching a baseball until right around 6:45. I'm hoping we run out of there a little early. We can go watch the game. So we'll see her the draft.
As always, you can find the Rise Up Sea Red podcast pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher Radio, we're on Spotify. We're featured on RevengeOfBirds.com and on my site, CardsWire.com, on Blog Talk Radio, on Audio Boom. On behalf of this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, number 191, thanks for listening as always. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. The team says to rise up Red Sea. We flipped it around and mixed together the Rise Up Red Sea and Be Red Sea Red to say Rise Up and Sea Red.
Guess what? I just got a pay rise.
I got a pay rise too.
And so did I.
That's because on the 1st of April, the national minimum wage
and the national living wage both went up.
What's more, it's your legal right to receive it.
Find out if you're due a pay rise too.
Check your pay at gov.uk/checkyourpay.
The national minimum wage
and the national living wage.
It's a step up in pay.